Welcome to another edition of American FC. We're going to talk about a couple games today as we look at the Champions League fixtures that happened yesterday afternoon with Man United facing Atalanta and Chelsea versus Malmo. We also had Europa League football with Leicester. So let's get into it straight away with the Champions League first game up against Man United versus Atalanta. So Atalanta came into this game at Old Trafford, dominated Man United in the first half. Now, don't get me wrong, United did have their chances, and United did look to have a few opportunities during the first half of the game. But really, Atalanta really gave it to United and was 2-0 up way before halftime was even over. Within 20, 30 minutes, they were 2-0 up. So, once again, we look at the tactics and what Ali has done for United. Is anything ever going to finally click? Now, United did win this game 3-2. They did fight back. Goals from Rashford, Maguire, and then, of course, who else but Cristiano Ronaldo stepping up once again to save Ollie's job. So, not only is this the first time that he's done this, but this is now the second time that Ronaldo has scored in a Champions League game to save Ollie's job at the death and really save them from, you know, looking bad. So, the comeback, phenomenal. I will have to say, you know, we've talked about in the last couple weeks that, or you've heard it talked about, and you heard me talk about last couple episodes, that United really need to come together as a team, really need to put forth the effort, really need to show that these star people can play with each other and really be what United used to be in their, you know, in their glory days. So in the short spell of from Rashford scoring to Ronaldo scoring, I mean, you really saw what old United was, what the team was, what they were doing together to really try and get this comeback win. And, you know, we look at it as, does the pressure leave Ollie? No, it doesn't leave Ollie. Ollie's pressure is still going to be there. He's still going to have increasing pressure game in and game out. And, you know, he's been under a lot of pressure because of the real poor run of form that United's been under. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people at Old Trafford, I'm sure him in general, was relieved, you know, with the win. But what we have to look at is, it was a thrilling comeback. And, you know, I'm sure every United fan was, like, you know, ecstatic with it. It was everything you could have won in a game to come back from 2-0 down to win it. But is Ollie the one to praise for this, or is the team the one to praise for it? Did the team finally, like, get it together? Did Ronaldo step up? Did Rashford step up? Did Maguire step up? Is the team stepping up as a whole, or was this just Ollie's tactics that finally working? Now, in my opinion, I think that Ollie had no chance of this being anything of his. For me, this was all United just stepping up to the plate, digging in deep, trying to get the goals, and making something happen. So, does a manager play the part? Yeah, he does. But for me, this is all team-based. So, it's not solved. And I think that the same pressure is going to constantly mount week in and week out. I do think that he'll be in a hot seat still to come. They've got Liverpool at the weekend. So, is it time for Ollie to leave? Is it time for something different? And we have to look at it as saying, is Ollie more of a cheerleader on the sidelines? You know, yeah, United, yeah, we can do this, yeah, we can do that. Or is he the technician of what the club is? And personally, I believe he is just a cheerleader, and if you want to say it in that kind of sense. Like, he is that person that, yeah, cheering United on, all about United, you know, yay, yay, yay. But when it comes down to tactical issues and tactical offense and tactical defensives, Ollie's not there, and Ollie shows that week in and week out that, yeah, you might win against a small team, or you might get lucky against a mid-table team, or you might grind out a win against a big team or get a draw. But what is it going to take for this person to say, for the Gazers to say, you know, Ollie's not doing it for us, he needs to go. We need someone who's going to come in like Zidane, like Conte, like Pochettino leaving PSG if that ends up happening, and coming to United and really taking all these star players and making it United, making it Manchester United again, making it that powerhouse team again. And so, with all the talent United has, with everything that United's been in the past, you know, I think now is the time for Ollie to leave. I personally still think he's probably going to be here come Christmas. I think he'll probably still be here towards the end of the season. I don't really see them ever getting rid of him. Been 3 years, hasn't won anything, but I just don't see him going anywhere. So, what is next for United in the sense of manager-wise when it comes to who they should bring in? You need someone who's going to get the best of these players. You need someone who's going to make United a team. You need someone who knows what it is to have this much talent and actually put it together. So, for me, Zidane's probably the better option. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But based on the result from yesterday against United, you know, at home, got a good 3-2 win. Very hard for them to get. You know, they could have easily been down and out after being 2-0 down. I mean, they didn't really play well in the first half. They didn't really look strong. They didn't look like United. So, to come back and get that 3-2 win, definitely a huge exciting comeback for them. Definitely a thralling, you know, it shows that Ronaldo still has them. It shows that he can still pull the team together to do that. So, now we kind of switch over to what happened with Chelsea yesterday. So, Chelsea played Malmo, and they won 4-0. So, the issue with Chelsea is 4-0, huge game at Stamford Bridge, dominated the entire game, no big issues. Didn't see Chelsea ever really slowing down. I still think that they're going to push for a title even in the Prem. You know, but do they have what it takes to get all the way through Champions League again this season? In some aspects, I think they do. In some aspects, I think they don't. But that's just a wait and see type of thing. The biggest problem with Chelsea now is not only did they cruise to a 4-0 win easily, but now they got two injuries going into the weekend. They've got two injuries now that where both these players are probably going to be out for a couple weeks. So we've got Romelu Lukaku and Timo Werner both being out. They both left early out in the game due to first half injuries. And it's kind of worrisome for Thomas Tuchel because you bring in this big money signing Lukaku. He's been scoring goals. He's been playing pretty decent in the Prem. He's been playing pretty decent in Champions League. Now you're losing that striker that you brought in. On the other hand, you know, you had Timo Werner. He was starting to get some goals. He was starting to kind of more adapt to the Prem that didn't happen last season. He was adapting to, you know, playing under Thomas Tuchel in that kind of groove. But now he's out injured as well. Now, they're going to miss some games, obviously, here and there. But it just looks like it's more likely just a twisted ankle or a sprained ankle. You know, nothing super, super bad for Lukaku. But for Timo Werner, now we have a hamstring injury. So, when it comes to hamstring injuries, it can be long-term for a couple weeks. It could be for a couple months. You know, it could go on and on. It just kind of depends. And if they do come back, are you going to get the best out of that player again? Are you going to get the same mentality you had from the player before they went out injured? Are they going to come back in that strain of form they were in? You know, and most likely that's not going to be the case. So, and it kind of, I feel bad for Timo Werner going into the sense of, you are finally starting to get that groove. You are getting that vibe. You are getting that them goals. You are getting the assists. You're getting the play time. And now this happens. And, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, another slap to him. Like, gosh, you know, I came to the Prem. This is what I want to do. But now I'm in this boat again, now being injured. So, where does this leave Thomas Tuchel with Chelsea? Well, for me personally, this is where Thomas Tuchel is going to really have to get creative with midfield. So, for Thomas Tuchel, he has to look to what Pep's done at Man City. So, City has played without a striker. City knows how to play this false nine with interchanging wingers, interchanging midfield. And it works for City. Can Thomas Tuchel use the same kind of mentality and the same kind of setup and bring that into Chelsea? Because without having strikers, he's going to literally be looking to Kai Havertz to step up and be the person who's going to do everything. And yeah, Kai Havertz has scored some goals and everything like that, but this is Kai Havertz's time to really shine for Chelsea. You've got no Werner to go against you. You've got no Lukaku to fight against. This is the time for Kai Havertz to step up and say, I can do this. I can be Chelsea's backup plan when these two strikers go out. And being the height that Kai Havertz is, he's 6'2". He's got pace. He's got strength. I mean, he's shown that in the Prem this season. He really showed it a lot last season. So he just continues to grow week in and week out. This is the person that Chelsea needs to rely on the most and needs to keep fit. Also, Ben Chilwell's been playing very well for Chelsea. So I don't see that Chelsea's going to really have a problem with both Lukaku and Timo Werner being out. I mean, there is a possibility they could struggle a little bit without them, but I don't 100% see it being a huge downfall to them being both out. It's definitely going to put a strain on Tuchel. It's definitely going to put a strain on the Chelsea team as a whole. But in the long run, Chelsea has the players to do it. Look at Rudiger, for instance. Rudiger had a fantastic game against Malmo. I mean, he was all over the field. He was making runs into the box. He drew the penalty that Jorginho scored. So they've got the players. They've got the team to continue to push even without their two main strikers. It's just waiting to see how Tuchel sets up going forward, not only in Champions League but also in the Prem, with these two strikers being out. So for me, for me personally, I think that Kai Havertz is their man. I think Pulisic will come into the field a little bit more now because he won't have that Kai Havertz, so that Timo Werner pushing out wide. He's going to bring in more, have Pulisic as a winger. And I think that if he can try to set up the same kind of formation, the same kind of tactics that Pep uses at City, I think that Chelsea will still be considered to be a dominant team and really continue to push for a title and even push for the Champions League glory like they did last season. At least until, Timo Werner and Lukaku come back. So we'll just kind of see where they go. I mean, they do have a Champions League game in a couple weeks again. They play Malmo again in the reverse fixture. Just like with United, they'll be playing in the reverse fixture in a couple weeks. So for both these teams, I think they both had really good games yesterday. I think both had ups and downs. I think Chelsea's downs, obviously is their injuries. United's downs were, conceding clumsy defensive error goals that they should not be conceding. But you got to look at the positive for both. Chelsea won 4-0. They got people who can step up. You look at United's positivity, in the 20, 30 minutes they had from when they scored their three goals to come back. You've seen that team building that United's been needing for a long time. So let's look at Europa League. So Europa League also happened yesterday. And one of the teams in Europa League for the Prem, of course, is Leicester. And they played Moscow. And they won the game 4-3, and it wasn't easy for Leicester either. I mean, they came down from two goals down to win the game 4-3. And all that fighting that they did has to give full 100% credit to Daka. So Paxton Daka scored four goals for Leicester, reviving their European League campaign by fighting back from the two goals down. Now, this moved Brendan Rodgers' Leicester up to second place in Group C, which is good for them. It gives them the very first win of Europa League. But we have to look at Daka. This has been an amazing couple days for him. Not only did he score four for Leicester in Europa League, but he also scored his first Premier League goal against Man United in their 4-2 win at the weekend, this past weekend. So, Iheanacho got two assists and for Daka, but you have to give full credit to Daka. I mean, this guy, four goals in European football on your debut in European football for Leicester. It's just astonishing. He's 23 years old, and he scored his last goal within the last 12 minutes of the game, his fourth goal. But Leicester and Daka scored three goals in a span of 9 minutes leading up before they got to their fourth goal. So 9 minutes, this guy scored a hat trick. So you're looking at almost a goal every 3 minutes. I mean, this dude is dangerous when it comes to the ball. He's proved that. He proved it against United when he outbeat Maguire and got in the back of the net and was able to score. He was dangerous in Europa League this yesterday, was scoring the three goals in the 9 minutes. And so I look at it and say, like, this guy, he could really go for Golden Boot, not only in Europa League, but he could go for Golden Boot even in the Prem. I mean, his goal scoring over the last 2 days is crazy. I mean, you're looking at five goals in two games, which is just astonishing for this kind of player. So Leicester fought back, and it was hard, but they got the win, so that's fantastic for Leicester. But full credit to Daka. That's all I can really talk about in this game. Leicester really didn't look all that great in general when they were down 2-0, but they did fight back to get it. But for Daka to spark the comeback and to lead the comeback and to be the comeback for Leicester. It's just fantastic. So the goals that Dakar scored, you know, in the 4-2 win over Man United on Saturday, he now becomes the Foxes' all-time joint top scorer in Europe as well with the 4 goals he scored. So that's even a bigger thing. He just broke a record doing the same thing. So Dakar looks like he's going to be the striker for Leicester going forward. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, Vardy is 33, 32 years old. I mean, he was the top goal scorer last year, he was top goal scorer in, you know, English football, and it was great, and, you know, he broke that record. But there's going to come a time when Vardy's not going to be at Leicester no more. And as much as we hate to see it happen, I mean, Vardy has lit up the Prem since he's come with Leicester. Leicester's had him there for a little while now, and he's lit it up. But, you know, eventually we're going to start seeing less and less of Jamie Vardy. And I think, you know, Iheanacho coming to Leicester City from Manchester was a good signing at the time. And I think Iheanacho has done well at Leicester. I don't think that he's the player to lead Leicester's front line after Vardy leaves. But if Dakar continues the same form he is in, if he continues to show this week in and week out, you know, he could be that Vardy that they'll miss, which is good for Leicester because they're going to need it. Because when Vardy's gone, they're going to struggle in the Prem not having that goal scorer. So I think he's great for the future. And I think that Leicester is probably most likely going to get out of their group. You know, we'll have to kind of wait and see. But I think that they're pretty much safe. I mean, they still got to get probably another win or so before we can really say that they're safe. But credit to them. Credit to Dakar. And it's just astonishing. Astonishing game from Leicester. So that's all I got with Europa. They're the only team that played. We got West Ham later on this afternoon. But let's get into the weekend. So the weekend, we got Prem. We got a lot of games. We got a lot of big games coming up. So Friday afternoon, we got Arsenal versus Villa at the Emirates. Now, Arsenal coming off of a draw against Palace, and Aston Villa's coming off the loss they had at Wolves. So Villa can come into this game and they can dominate. But Arsenal can also dominate this game too. So for Arsenal, I think if Lacazette and Aubameyang really step up, I think that Arsenal's got this win in the bag. I think that they will probably out-muscle Villa. I think that they'll fight against Villa. I don't think Villa's going to put up much of a fight. Villa's dealing with some injuries. So I'm going to say, my prediction for this game, I'm going to say probably going to be a 2-1 win to Arsenal. I still think Villa will get a goal at Emirates, but I think Arsenal's going to come out on top of this game. We have the first game on Saturday. We got Chelsea versus Norwich at Stamford Bridge. Now, Norwich have yet to win a game. Norwich don't look like they're going to win a game. They got a negative 14 goal difference. And you got Chelsea at the top with a 13-plus goal difference. They've only lost one game this season. Problem with that is now Chelsea don't have the goal scorers because of losing them in the Champions League group stage yesterday. But if Kai Havertz steps up, Chelsea have this game in the bag. I don't see Norwich getting a goal. I don't see Norwich even really holding possession. I don't see Norwich doing anything in this game. I'm gonna go with Chelsea's probably going to win this game 3-4-0, just like they did yesterday in Champions League. I think they're going to fight. I think they're going to be a very comfortable game for them. I don't think that they're going to have any kind of struggle with Norwich. So I'm going to go with a 3-4-0 win for Chelsea easily on this game. After the Chelsea game, we've got 4 games kicking off. We got Palace at Selhurst Park versus Newcastle. We got Everton welcoming Watford. Leeds are welcoming Wolves, and Southampton is welcoming Burnley. So Palace and Newcastle, you know, Newcastle's not going to, they don't have a manager. Steve Bruce was let go. They've yet to announce a new manager. We all know there's going to probably be a big manager signing since the takeover's happened now. So I'm going to give this win to Palace. I think Vieira's finally going to get his win over Palace. I think being at Selhurst Park in a home atmosphere, welcoming a struggling Newcastle who's been struggling for the last couple games, who is coming off a loss at Tottenham. I think that Palace have this game in the bag. I don't see any kind of issue with Palace struggling. I don't think it's going to be a draw. Palace is scoring goals through Benteke. They've got goals coming from Ayew. They got Connor Gallagher, who we talked about yesterday, dictating their midfield. So for me, Pals should easily win this game. I'm gonna say Pals will probably win this game at least 2-0. I don't see Newcastle getting a goal. I don't see Newcastle putting forth any kind of effort. I think that Newcastle will probably give Pals a little bit of a struggle with just the pace that they have and Maximin and maybe with Callum Wilson. But other than that, I don't really see them getting much of anything out of this game. Now, Everton and Watford. I think Everton's got this in the bag. Everton always plays very well at Goodison Park. Watford probably will get a goal. You know, they've been in pretty good form, especially if Sarr steps up. But overall, Everton should have this game pretty much wrapped up in the bag. I'm going to say that they're probably going to win the game 2-1. Leeds versus Wolves. So that's the next game that's going to be kicking off simultaneously with the Palace and the Everton game. I like Leeds. I think Leeds is a good team. I think Leeds had a fantastic season last year. But they have yet to really get off on the same mark they had last season. And with that being said, I don't see them winning at Elland Road this weekend. I think Wolves coming off that win against Villa after coming down from 2-0 to win 3-2 in a matter of 10 minutes, 11 minutes left of the game. They're finally getting their form. Wolves has the pace. Wolves has the strikers. They've got Jimenez. They've got Traore. They've got people who can score goals. They got the pace up front. They got the pass, and they got what they need. They got Ruben Neves hitting free kicks. Wolves should be able to come to Leeds with the poor form that Leeds has been in, and they should be able to take this game. Is it going to be a high scoring game? I don't think so. I think that it'll probably be a 1-0 or maybe like a 2-1 win to Wolves. But at the same time, I could see, because Leeds are at home, Leeds could get a draw. So the game could end up being 1-1. If the game ends up being 1-1, being 1-1 at any time before halftime, I don't really see either team really getting the win after that. So I want to say this game's probably going to be either a 1-1 draw or at least a 2-1 win to Wolves if Wolves can get two early goals. Southampton versus Burnley. Burnley's coming off a loss against City, which they did give a lot of struggle to. I mean, they really made City fight for their win, but Southampton had this coming off a win on a 1-0 win from, and they're being at St. Mary's. They're playing at St. Mary's again this weekend. So can Burnley take the same kind of fight they put up at City and take it to Southampton? I think they can. And I think that when Burnley visits Southampton, I think they can get a draw out of this. I don't see either one of these teams really getting a win, per se. I don't think that either one of them's got a win in them. I think that whoever scores first, you know, might get a 1-0 win if they're lucky. But I really see this game probably being a 0-0 draw. I don't really see much more coming out of it in that sense. Then the final game for Saturday is City traveling to Brighton. So this game for me obviously hits a little hard because I'm a City supporter. This game is going to come down to the tactics being right. Is Brighton a hard team to play against? Not particularly. City's beat them numerous times. Any team can take Brighton on and really play them. Graham Potter being over Brighton this year is different than any other year. Brighton is sitting fourth in the Premier League. Something that is just mind-blowing to anybody who can think of it. So, for me, I think City wins the game. I think they're going to go there and win 3-1, 2-1, something like that. Is Brighton going to put up a fight? Most definitely. I think Brighton, being at home, being in the form they've been in, being where they sit in the table, Brighton has nothing left to lose. Brighton could give everything they can against City. They can fight City. They can push City. They can do anything they want to. The worst they can do is lose the game and go down to fifth or sixth place. For them, I don't think they're expected to win. I don't feel like they're on anybody's favor to win. So for me, they have nothing to lose. I think they should really take the game to City, make City work for the win, make City fight. And I think if they do the same kind of thing that Burnley did, they will put up that fight against City. And City will probably get the 2-1 win or 3-1 win. But Brighton's definitely most likely going to score with the form that they've been in. And I definitely see that happening. So we have Sunday's games kicking off at 9 a.m. Eastern time for us. We got Brentford versus Leicester. Now, here's the game that I want to talk about a little bit. So Brentford has been in a huge, huge frame of form. And I believe that Brentford's probably going to finish in the top four, if not at least the top six, and probably get Europe football next season. Leicester coming to Brentford off of a 4-3 win in Europa League. You got Daka, who just scored four goals. You got Ivan Toney for Brentford, who's been scoring goals. You got Brentford playing good football. Now, this game, I think, is going to be a very, very fun game to watch. I think it's going to be very exciting on both spectrums, even if for a neutral player or a neutral supporter. Is this game going to have a winner? I can't necessarily say it's going to have a winner. I think that both teams are going to score some goals. I think they're going to both score some spectacular goals. Leicester coming off a win also at home against Man United. You've got Brentford just had their last draw this past weekend, so a little shaky. But Brentford is the ones that are rested. Leicester's coming off of two quick games. Brentford's rested. So I expect Brentford to really put up a fight against Leicester. I think that they could probably even grind out the win. Is it going to be hard against Leicester? Obviously, it's going to be super hard for them to do. But they have it in them to be it. They beat Arsenal. They drew Liverpool. You know, they can easily take this game to Leicester and get the win out of it. They've got the rest. They've been rested over the last week. This game should be Brentford's in the bag. So my prediction for this game is I think Leicester's probably going to either get a draw. It's going to either be a 2-2 draw, or I think Leicester's probably going to end up losing this game, and I think Brentford can get out a 3-2 win. The second game that also kicks off simultaneously is that West Ham is bringing Tottenham to North London, and I think, or to West London, and I think that West Ham, coming off of Europa League, they got Europa League today. If they win this game today, they are top of their group. They win this game, they're pretty much safe to move on. But you're bringing in Tottenham, a team who's coming off of a pretty decent win over the past weekend. They're rested. They're ready to go. And Tottenham's finally getting their goal-scoring groove back that they had at the beginning of the season. So, for me, Tottenham should go into this game full force and win this game. But we can't forget that last season, Lanzini stepped up and they got a draw. So, this game's got full of excitement. This game is a London derby. I see this game probably being a high-scoring game. I'm going to say that this game's probably going to end at a draw. I'm going to say that the game's probably going to end at a 2-2 or at least a 3-3. I really think this game's going to be a high-scoring game. Both teams are in pretty decent form. Son and Kane are scoring goals. West Ham scoring goals. This should be a fun game to watch as well. Now, the big game of the weekend. Last game of the weekend. Biggest game of the weekend. Man United are bringing Liverpool to Old Trafford. Here's where it's going to get fun this weekend, because I believe this game could be Ollie's job, or it may not be. You've got Ronaldo, Sancho, Bruno Fernandes versus Salah, Mane, Firmino. This is the biggest game of the weekend and probably one of the biggest games of the season so far. United's in a little bit of a down spiral. They're in a little bit of a poor form. Liverpool's red hot right now with Salah. This game is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. There's going to be goals. And I don't think that United's going to be the one scoring the goals. I think that Liverpool is going to run riot over Man United. I think that Liverpool either is going to win this game 3-0, or United might get a goal and then Liverpool wins 3-1. I expect United to win, to lose this game, and I expect Liverpool to win. And with that being said, this game will be the determining factor of where United finishes in the table in the season. And I know it's early. I know we're only 9-10 games in the season. But this game will be what determines United's season going forward. If they lose this game, it's going to drop them down, and it's going to continue to push Liverpool to the top to fight for the title between Chelsea and City, if City can get their groove going. And keep their group going. So, for me, this is United's last chance to push up and get into and be in the top part of the table and be there consecutively. So, these are my predictions. This is what I've got for the weekend. I want to thank you all for listening to the podcast today. I look forward to talk to you, to a list for you guys to hear the new one on Saturday. I'm going to try to post it either late Saturday night or probably early Sunday morning. And thank you so much. This has been American FC.